host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Excited to share the mic today with two incredible people, and better yet, dynamic duos. We have Tina Ullman, co-founder and president of the Chamber of Cannabis, and also brand manager at Old Pal. And we have Danny Baranowski, co-founder of the Chamber of Cannabis and brand strategist for State Flower and Valhalla Confections. Guys, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Very glad to have you guys. So Tina, we'll just do a quick intro with you. You know, you're the co-founder and president of the Chamber of Cannabis. You're the brand manager at Old Pal, and you've been a pretty prominent voice for cannabis reform in Nevada. You were awarded the 2020 Cannabis Activist of the Year for Las Vegas, and also recognized as one of the most influential women in cannabis by Vegas Cannabis Magazine. And Danny, you're also the co-founder of the Chamber of Cannabis and brand strategist for State Flower and Valhalla Confections. And you've had an incredible opportunity to really, you know, educate consumers all over the world in the various roles you've had in the cannabis space, from Canada to Colombia to even Croatia. So guys, I think, you know, first and foremost, how did you two meet? And tell us a little bit more about the Chamber of Cannabis and its mission.
Perfect. Well, I'll give it a start. So Tina and I kind of like to give a little background on us, give us a little bit of credence to the cause. In 2009, I had just started smoking weed for the first time in my life. I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah. So I fit the stereotype, if you know what I mean. But coming out of that stereotype, I was like, you know, I want to try cannabis. And unfortunately, I was caught smoking weed. I was charged with a cannabis felony. I had less than a gram of weed and had only been smoking weed for 3.5 weeks. I went through, absolutely. I went through intensive probation. I was drug tested 3 times a week. I had a probation officer that really disrupted my life. I was working 2 jobs, going to college, and really trying to make the best of it. So following that, I tried another career, and then just really felt drawn to cannabis as I watched it grow and explode while I was, you know, working internationally. So I decided to come into cannabis. I got my first job as an international account manager, and that's really where I was educating people internationally. But I felt a little bit disconnected from the cannabis community, so I found out about a local advocacy group, which was Las Vegas Normal, so the National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws. And, you know, I've always been a passionate volunteer, done a lot of church car washes, things of that nature. Right away I felt, you know, empowered by this community that was building of advocates. And I was then impacted by so many stories of consumers, patients, and got to grow my cannabis knowledge, got to grow my cannabis network. And truly the best thing that happened to me was I got to meet my partner in justice, Tina Ullman.
Amazing. So Tina, how about a quick background on you too?
Absolutely. We love that partner in justice. We thought of it when we were high. So my background, I've been a consumer for about 15 years, and I started consuming when I went to work for corporate America. I graduated from UNLV in hospitality and joined a large hospitality developer, and had a great career, but was stressed out. So started using cannabis before bed, and really saw it changing my life, but I was not open about it. And then once cannabis started to become legal, I knew immediately I wanted to work in cannabis. Being a former sales and marketing executive, everything prepared me for the role that I'm coming into. Being a consumer gives me the passion and the knowledge and the acumen to know what I'm talking about. And I've had many family members and a former boyfriend do almost 30 years in prison for the war on drugs. So I've seen firsthand what can happen when we have unjust policy. And people, unfortunately, that our dear friends are no longer on this earth because they were addicted to pills, heroin, meth, And all of those things really fuel me to want to make sure that the opportunity for cannabis is done well. And we're thinking about justice. We're thinking about how it impacts the community. We're thinking about how to create a whole new industry where it's open for all people. It's inclusive. It's not a good old boys club. So all of those things really got us to where we are today. And Danny and I did meet. We believe the cannabis gods brought us together. But it's the law of attraction to the fullest. We have very similar talents, but we have very different strengths. So we just create a great team and we really like to have fun. If you're not having fun, you're not going to attract your tribe. So we always try to make sure people enjoy themselves and feel a part of building something that's so revolutionary.
Awesome. So, you know, I think, you know, you guys obviously doing some pretty great work. And I think more importantly, you know, one of the biggest challenges that we face, you know, as a community, and I would say, you know, from a business perspective, is that there is, you know, there's still a little bit of stigma out there, even though we don't really see it much. You know, things have really changed in the last, you know, 2 years. But, you know, how are you guys changing that stigma around cannabis and kind of creating more acceptance around it? Obviously, legislation and states coming on board help incredibly. But I'm curious what you guys are also doing kind of with your, you know, as the Chamber of Cannabis.
We do a lot of things. I mean, first and foremost, Tina and I, you know, we do like to have fun, but we do possess business acumen and we do recognize the opportunities both for healing, wellness, and all of the above reasons why people choose to use cannabis. And we feel like we are good representatives of that. We don't necessarily, you know, we have the look, we walk the walk, and then we also talk the talk. We do what we say we're going to do. So that's part one. And then as far as our chamber goes, we wanted to make sure that when we formed it, you know, it wasn't just a one-sided, one-dimensional organization. And so we have a couple of different facets to our organization. And that's something that I head up is the community impact portion. So we make sure that we show up for our community. We partner with allied organizations or do, you know, service projects and things of that nature monthly and also quarterly to make sure that our community knows that, you know, we aren't lazy stoners. We want to contribute and we want to impact in a positive way. And providing access to cannabis professionals instead of, you know, Tina said, mentioned she had to hide, you know, in the green closet, as they say. I think it's important to show the community that, you know, we are, you know, the same person that lives next door to you. Instead of having a glass of wine, we choose to medicate a different way. So that's one big way. What else do you think, T?
First, just to agree with your point, it starts with us. Absolutely. I mean, we want to lead by example and set the example. We see the opportunity that and the privilege that we've been given. So it 100% starts with us and then attracting other folks that also see that opportunity and really growing our community through leaders and cannabis professionals and maybe people that have been working in the traditional market that now want to leave that market. How do they enter the market? So I think we've done really well, attracted a great tribe of people. And then getting the job done. You know, everyone's got an idea, but it only, if you deliver on that idea, that's a whole new ballgame. So execution, and then making sure that we're thinking two steps ahead, you know, sustainability in our ideas and solutions is very important because we are just at the forefront of, this industry.
Totally. Well, with you guys kind of being in, you know, Nevada and obviously Vegas, I'm curious with the news in the last week, you know, there's a lot of chatter around with, cannabis lounges, expecting to, you know, hit the Nevada market in 2022. And curious, like, what are your thoughts around that? You know, are you excited? Is it, you know, or is it interesting? Is it not interesting? What do you guys think?
Well, Jeff, we want to let you know that the Chamber of Cannabis is one of the main key players that is responsible for that law being passed. When we formed our organization, you know, actually, I want to let Tina tell this story. Tina, if you could please. Yeah.
Thanks. We actually formed our organization less than a year ago. October 15th was our first meeting, and we saw a big opportunity for the next step in cannabis commerce to be consumption venues. And we are fortunate that we lived in an area that we have an amazing assemblyman, Steve Yeager. And I've been building my relationship with him for the last 2 years after meeting him in Carson City, lobbying for regional home grow and cannabis DUIs. And I learned, wow, he's an amazing dude. He's young. He's progressive. He believes in cannabis reform. His wife is an incredible judge. She's expunged 2,500 records. And like, how lucky that I have this power couple, you know, that thinks very similar to me, and how can I support them? So we developed our relationship through the last 2 years. And he said, hey, you know, get me a proposal. And if I like it, I'll carry the bill. And he actually said that to many groups and businesses. And the chamber was the only organization in cannabis business in Nevada to propose anything. So it was not on the tip of, you know, anybody's head really, especially dispensaries. So we were able to make that happen. And then through members, people, you know, just joining our fight, joining the movement, we were able to raise enough funds for a government affairs official, which you have to have. You know, we have to have an expert walk us through this. We are not. We are volunteers, and we are savvy businesswomen who love cannabis. So Scott Rutledge was able to take us home for the win. And we were able to get a lot of things that we wanted, 20 independent lounges, 10 of them for social equity and diversity applicants, and then 10 for everybody else. And that number will grow as the dispensaries increase their lounges. For the dispensaries, they'll get one per licensed group. And they'll also be allowed to have infused food and non-alcoholic drinks that are infused. So huge, huge opportunities for our restaurateurs, our chefs. I mean, Las Vegas has so many creative entrepreneurs. This really opens the gate to a whole new industry and much more tourism. Yeah. So yeah, that was a huge win for consumers, for the industry. Also just the pricing on the application process is extremely affordable, $2,500 for the social equity and diversity licenses, and then $10,000 for the other applications. It is a lottery. They decided to go with the lottery because unfortunately a merit-based system just has too many problems and lawsuits like we saw with the dispensaries. But we are very happy with how the Cannabis Compliance Board is setting everything up. They've established 4 subcommittees to workshop how the regulations for the lounges will go, which are open to the public. The first one actually happened today on public health. Then there will be one on public safety, market analysis. And then I'm actually going to be serving on the subcommittee for diversity, social equity, and inclusion. So we're very happy with the way that the CCB is guiding the industry and how our colleagues in the industry are now using their voice alongside the chamber to put in their solutions and ideas. So we couldn't be more happy. It's the most fulfilling thing I've ever done. That is for darn sure.
Well, kudos to you guys. That's awesome.
Thank you. And then I wanted to kind of jump in really fast. Some other really important wins that were involved with this consumption lounge bill is that social equity has previously not been defined in Nevada. And so now it's going to be providing recognition and at least some small form of reparations for the people in our community that have been harmed by the failed war on drugs. So that was extremely important. And going back to your previous question of changing the stigma, you know, Tina and I and other people on our chamber board, other advocates and leaders were able to testify in the Senate hearings, and other different legislative processes. So we were showing our legislators that yes, we are a cannabis industry. Yes, we want to guide where this is going. And yes, we can do so intelligently and with acumen. So that was really, you know, an incredible opportunity for us. And I wanted to say even more so, I think that, you know, you asked if we were happy about this and what about the buzz? Oh my God, I truly believe that the ripple effect is going to change this industry completely. Las Vegas, creating consumption lounges, creating a safe space for people to try cannabis, to be educated on cannabis, and also do it in the Vegas way is really going to, you know, I think forced the hand of our entire industry to innovate. And then again, just provide more exposure and really change that stigma.
Mm-hmm.
Without a question. No, I think just, you know, I was just curious from you guys, just because you obviously have to stay really, you know, very close to, you know, changing laws and regulations and compliance and all of that fun stuff. So I'm just curious how you two kind of, whether you're doing it in your own, you know, in your brands or through the, you know, the chamber, you know, how do you track all of the local regulatory changes?
I mean, two different ways. First and foremost, we have we created a group of leaders around us on our board of directors and our officers that are keeping track of compliance, keeping everyone in check. And then we also, again, have a government affairs person. So we've retained Scott Rutledge from Argentum Partners to really, you know, go to these meetings, you know, dive into this legislative ease that we can't necessarily understand all the time or don't have the time to. And then again, we are bringing this information as a value add and a value proposition to our members. So sharing this freely so that we can all guide and direct the different businesses within the chamber, including our own, who are, of course, chamber members and supportive of what we're doing because they know that we're growing our industry in a just and economic forward way. So it's kind of a twofold thing. We want to share the knowledge that we have with everyone that's on board with us because we believe that all ships rise with the tide. And we'd also like to see Las Vegas and Nevada companies really be some of the main people benefiting from this. Of course, we welcome, you know, different companies that want to enter, but it sure feels nice when the people that have been doing the work for, you know, the previous years, they also get that, you know, that to get to reap that reward as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, one thing that I definitely wanted to hear from you guys on, obviously you're also outside of the Chamber of Cannabis, you guys have, you know, active roles at Old Pal and also State Flower. Maybe talk to us a little bit about, you know, the different products that you guys represent, maybe your favorite products. We have obviously a massive amount of listeners in the cannabis space. So I think this would be great to talk a little bit about your respective brands.
Go ahead, Tina.
Yeah, definitely. You know, first and foremost, we're both so lucky to work for brands that support what we're doing more so than just going door to door selling weed. That's really fun, but it's not as fulfilling as what we're actually doing to make impact and, you know, unite the folks making it happen. I feel extremely blessed to work for a company that supports our views and what we need to be doing as leaders in this industry. I've been working for Old Pal for about 2.5 years now as their brand manager. So making sure the brand comes to life, making sure it's represented well, our customers are well taken care of, our dispensary team members are educated, having a relationship with Flower One, which is our cultivator. All these businesses are new, so I think we really have an opportunity to set our footprint. And for the last 2 years, that's what we've done. I was so attracted to Old Pal. I remember my first big meeting. I walked in, and on our presentation, they said, "Our company is a cultural changing machine." And I just knew I was in the right place because that's what I wanted to do. And then we're able to do that really by what our job functions is, which is going to dispensaries and, you know, selling them our product and building relationships. So we realized through really creating an extensive network of people in the industry, we could disperse a lot of information and, you know, start to make sure that people saw each other as allies and set the tone. So it's all really worked very well, and it's all worked to be very aligned to where we are today.
Awesome.
Cool. And then, yeah, I'll go ahead. So I, you know, was so privileged to have the opportunity to get swooped up by State Flower and Valhalla during the pandemic. So again, I got to come in with a company that recognized what I was doing in the community already and said, "Wow, what an asset. We'd love to have her join the team." So I'm the sales manager and the brand strategist. And, you know, what I do is I get to guide and direct what the message for the brand is. And then I also get to, you know, work within a sales team. State Flower main focus, we're a craft craft cannabis small garden, hell-bent on growing cannabis that is medical grade, that makes people as happy as we are. And then Valhalla Confections, again, it's, you know, trying to heal tastefully, providing good, you know, consistently dosed products. You know, I definitely have been able to change a lot of stigmas with working with an edible brand, right? A lot of older people in my life, maybe, you know, again, my background is I'm from Utah, people that don't feel like they want to smoke cannabis, but they would rather ingest it. It's provided me a platform to give them the opportunity to enter the cannabis space in a, you know, kind of easier way than combustion, I would say. And again, truly, State Flower and Valhalla were both, we are EnviroCan certified. It's something I was drawn to as well. Part of that being that we have really strict and high testing standards, higher than those of the state of Nevada, which is already extremely strict. And part of that also is making sure that having that certification is making sure that you know, not only are there's no organic pesticides, it's that the people are happy. There's nothing, you know, bad going on, and, you know, HR is all up buttoned up and the people are as happy as the plants. And then furthermore, that they are committed to stewardship in the community. So again, Tina and I both so lucky to find brands that have the same drive as we do to build up this community with cannabis, and really make the best of it, truly.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure you guys have listened to the show before, but, you know, we always end things with some quick fire questions. But for today, since I have both of you, I thought it would be fun to do a little bit of a different format. So we're going to call this game This or That. Okay. So Tina, I'll start with you with a question and then I'll pass it over to Danny. Are you guys ready?
Ready.
Yeah.
Okay. Tina, dog or cat?
Dog.
Danny, Netflix or YouTube?
Netflix.
Phone call or text?
Text.
Toast or eggs?
Toast.
Cardio or weights?
What?
Cardio or weights?
Oh, weights.
While walking, music or podcasts?
Podcasts.
Form or function?
What?
Form or function?
Just say
function.
Okay. Cake or pie?
Both.
Good answer. Swimming or sunbathing?
Oh, sunbathing.
Big party or small gathering?
Big party that Tina and I host.
Okay, what's worse, laundry or dishes?
Laundry.
Okay, final question. Burger or taco?
Oh, no.
I don't know, like, either.
No, I love both. That's very hard for me to pit against each other. I'm going to have to say taco based on the dynamic opportunities available.
Well, that was fun, guys. Thanks for playing. And, you know, Tina and Danny, really appreciate you coming on the show. Obviously appreciate everything that you guys are doing, and congrats with the Chamber of Cannabis. And, you know, you guys are really not just, you know, doing good work, but you guys are also fighting for the community. So I could say I appreciate that, but I know everybody else appreciates it as well. And, you know, I'll be in Vegas, MJ Biz in October. So I look forward to hanging with you guys and partying. Oh,
yes.
Yep.
Yes.
And quick plug, if anyone wants to reach us or wants to enter the Nevada market, or, you know, just wants to maybe, you know, take us out for a doobie or something, you can find us on Instagram, Chamber of Cannabis, or our website, thechamberofcannabis.org.
Awesome. Well, guys, thanks again for coming on, and have a great rest of the week.
Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
You.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.